Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. I was thinking this week, because I listen to his messages every morning, I miss Pastor Stevens. Now, that's not a comment on Pastor Scheller. Pastor Stevens is the founder of our ministry, our international ministry. I miss him. He was my teacher. He was my spiritual father. I miss him. Pastor Scheller is now the pastor of the ministry, you know, the headquarters. He's a wonderful, anointed, spirit-filled preacher. He's an amazing pastor. But he wasn't my father, and I miss the man who was my spiritual father. He taught me. He taught me how to think. He taught me how to be a pastor. He taught me. And I miss his presence. I miss his voice. I miss seeing him. I just miss him. This passage in Proverbs really reminded me of what I was thinking about my pastor. The Word of God says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life." Job 23, verse 12. In Job had this confession: "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And in the original language, the word "food" is not there. It's just "more than all things that I consider necessary." I have esteemed his words as more. There are many people who forsake sound teaching, who forsake the words of their father. Why do they do this? Something comes along, a little bit of shiny on the side of the road, and it grabs their attention. A little bit of a distraction from the Word of God, and their concentration is gone. A little bit of familiarity where the valuable is still valuable but not the utmost valuable, where the precious is dear but no longer precious. Where I have something that I would now prefer to his word. I have something that I would now prefer to being taught by my spiritual father. And that's not exalting the man, that's honoring him. If you ever had a pastor like Pastor Stevens, you would know what I mean. Be careful about becoming familiar with the one that is said to be your spiritual father. The Word of God says there are many teachers in Christ, but not many fathers. Why? Because the words of the Father, and I don't mean like an ecclesiastical father, I mean a spiritual father. They give me life. It is the person who taught me how to walk with God, how to live with Him. It is the person who may have won my soul to Christ, may not have. But regardless of who it was, He gave me life through God's Word. Why is that so important that it be a person? Many believers out there think, "Oh, I can do it on my own. I can go to this one and that one and the other one." But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, the Word of God says that the just live by faith. If faith comes by hearing, it is not the same as reading. In the original language, it makes a specific statement about the auditory sense. It's very precise what the language says there. You see, my pastor gave me faith. He taught me what it means to live in faith. And he taught me what it means to enter into grace. He taught me how to apply the Word of God so that I would have it for myself as the foundation of my own thinking. He didn't tell me, and I told him this one time, I said, Pastor, what I love about you is that you don't tell us what to do, you teach us how to think. And he did. The good pastor will teach you how to think. Why? Because the mind of Christ is the essence of who Christ was. You see, many times believers, and this happens particular to young believers, many times believers get into this notion of, I've heard this before, I've read these passages before, there's nothing new that you can teach me. And they won't say this, but every time you say something new, they say, oh, I know. Oh, I know. Yes, I've heard. Oh, I know. No, I don't know anything. You see, even if I heard John 3:16 for the rest of my life, the Holy Spirit would make it fresh. Why? Because in John 16, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit guides me in all truth. John Rice, he was a great soul winner. Dr. John Rice went to a church and he preached for 2 weeks. And every single night when he was at that church, he preached, he that wins souls is wise. And after several days, somebody came up to him and said, Dr. Rice, you keep preaching the same verse. Why? We've heard this now. He just looked at him and said, I keep preaching the same verse because you keep not doing it. You see, it hasn't become substance in their life yet. It hasn't become the foundation of their thinking yet. It hasn't become the premise for their frame of reference with which they look at the world, look at themselves, look at other people, and come to God. It hasn't become real yet. It hasn't turned into faith. If I say, I know, I've heard, I know, what I'm actually doing is devising a mechanism by which to protect myself from the conviction of God's Word so I don't have to have a cross in my life whereby it's not me, it's Christ. It's a form of self-preservation. Pastor Stevens was wonderful that way. If you walked into this church before long, you were met with the cross. And that wasn't an ascetic, legalistic self-denial like so many think. That was the entrance into the fullness of God's life through the mercy of God and the preaching of grace. The finished work. The fact that Jesus had completed it before the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. That's when it was finished. That's when the Lamb was slain. And when you take that on, without familiarity, without thinking that I know something, I've heard that before. When you take that on and mix faith with what you hear in Hebrews chapter 4, it becomes life to you. You see, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is why in Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word there in the original language is not the same word as what we often think of as the Word of God. There are three words. There's grapheia, the written word. Then there's logos, which is considered as the general Word of God. But this was neither. This was rhema. This was the specific revealed Word of God from the Holy Spirit for the situation in my life. These are the rhemas of God, and this is what we live by. The Holy Spirit's application of the Word of God to my heart. You see, if I don't have that, I can't have the living Word either. Not in a practical sense. Oh, I may be saved. I may go to heaven when I die. God will not be harsh toward me. I may be a believer. But my experience, the experience that I have of my daily moment-by-moment life, that will not be the fullness of life that I so desire and that I so long for. I may serve, but frequently people serve out of an empty cup, not out of a full one. They pour out the very last bit at the bottom and they say, okay, God, I'll give this very last bit to you and I'll go and serve. But that's not how God intended it. God intended not for me to serve out of my want or out of my lack. God intended me to serve out of my overflow. God fills the cup and it spills over onto everything else that I do and everyone else that I come into contact with. But I have to receive first, because what am I going to give that I have not received? Isn't that what the Word of God says? What have you that you have not received? God's not interested in my self-effort. God is interested in His life overflowing from mine. First He fills me and then He overflows. And this is what it means to be in the body of Christ. First He fills me, and then He overflows. I have to be careful not to get that order wrong. If I think I know something, Paul said, then I know nothing as I ought. Right? 1 Corinthians 8:2. If I think I know something, I know nothing as I ought. I think it's very tempting for us believers to think we know something when in fact we know nothing as we ought. What do I know? I only know that which God gives me. Because Isaiah said His ways are above my ways and His thoughts are above my thoughts. How can I possibly begin to understand His thoughts? As high as the heaven is above the earth. Okay, let's go out, take our yardstick, measure the universe. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so is our God's thoughts above my thoughts and His ways above my ways. This is why I need to hear the Word. This is why He said, my son, receive my sayings. In Proverbs 4, continuing in verse 20, the Word of God says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. The word eyes there, when the Bible speaks of eyes, it's talking about perception. Do not let them depart from your perception. Keep them in the midst of your heart, the midst of your frame of reference. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Do you know what that word issues there is? It's theseia, and it means borders. That frame of reference that I receive from the Word of God as I learn to have the mind of Christ in me so I can think with His thoughts, so His thoughts become my thoughts rather than me thinking with natural, old sin nature, Adamic thoughts. As He pours His Word into me through the preaching of the Word of God, because faith does come by hearing, not only do I grow in faith, and not only do I grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, what else do I grow in? I grow in the borders of my life. You see, the Word of God makes my life, it defines my life, and the Word of God resident in the heart of a man are what makes that man's life. That's what defines my life as a believer. It's the Word of God. This is why there is such an attack, and it's not necessarily a visible attack, but there is such an attack on the Word of God in this world. This is why there's such an attack on the Word of God in public schools. This is why you got to teach evolution to forget the fact that it makes no scientific sense at all. Forget the fact that you got to violate the major laws of science to get to it. You got to teach it. Why? So that people will think, oh, the Word of God is nothing. It is a myth. It is nothing. Why? Because out of it come the issues of life. Out of it I get to know God. Out of it I get to know His heart, His compassion, His mercy, His tenderness toward me. Out of it I get to learn what it means to have a life with Him, what it means to have a call with Him. Out of it I learn who He is. In this I find the wisdom for my life. And in this, my life is defined. It's in the Word of God. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. A deceitful mouth is a mouth that speaks something contrary to the gospel of grace, to the gospel of the finished work of Christ. It is something that speaks other than truth. Now be careful, I don't mean other than fact, I mean other than truth. Christ is the truth. What do I mean, fact and truth? Jesus said in John chapter 7, when the brethren, his brethren asked him, "Are you going to Jerusalem for the feast?" He said, "No, I'm not going." And then when they were gone, he went. Was he lying? If he was lying, he was not the Savior. Truth is a kingdom issue. That which comes from the kingdom of God is truth. That which comes from the kingdom of iniquity, Satan's throne, is a lie. If I speak according to God's kingdom, God's heart, the word of God, then I am speaking in truth. If I speak contrary, then I'm speaking a lie. Let your eyes, your perception, look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Why of the feet? For the same reason that the feet have to be the part that is cleansed. Because we're seated above in heavenly places in Christ. And if we are Christ, and heaven is Christ's throne, and earth is Christ's footstool, then heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. It means that my experience is here on earth. My position is with heaven, in heaven with God, seated at His right hand. This is where I am now. Just the application of my life for the time being is here on earth. I'm a citizen of the New Jerusalem. I am the child of God. I am in Christ, in the heavenlies. Did you know that there is a difference between position and experience? That is taking us to the place where we are becoming who we are. Where our experience will become the same as our position. But that takes a while. It takes a process. It takes His Word. It takes tests. It takes time. It takes waiting in the trials. It takes waiting for the promises. Because this is how we are renewed. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Do not turn because of your strength or because of your weakness. Remove your foot from evil. Remove your faith, your foot from Satan's kingdom. Remove your foot from worldliness. The things that are of the old man, the old sin nature, the flesh. You see, in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. To say I know is to say I already have achieved somehow. I haven't achieved. I won't achieve till the day I go home. I have not achieved. I've got news for you. You haven't either. So we're a bunch of underachievers. But to say I know is to say I've achieved. You know what? This life is there for one simple reason. John 17:3. That we may know Him. And then when He takes us home, He will take home a bride who actually knows Him. Who knows her groom. This is why I'm here. I don't say I know. I think any married couple can tell you, you don't know your spouse. You're getting to know them. You're all constantly learning something new about your husband or your wife. Something you didn't realize about them before. But this is the process. This is why I receive God's sayings. The sayings of my spiritual father as it is given to him by God. This is why I do not depart from them. This is why they are my health. And this is why they're in Psalm 119, why they are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because they are given by God to the man of God to give to everybody else. It's not the man, it's the call. Okay, it's not the man, it's the call. I don't follow the man, I follow the call. And in the call, there is one who becomes my teacher and my father. And that one I stay faithful to. Why? Because that's how I get to know it. You know?